The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerate.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number 2, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. Can text the show, you know the number for that, and get on the new Twitch channel, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Comment on there. We are staying live throughout the breaks, as Josh did today, and just commenting on stuff that, you know, might not make it to the air. And it's been a lot of fun, so go and check it out. Very simple. 713-780-3776. And if they missed any of the first hour, it will be available shortly on podcastarena.com. A32 said, I don't know what's kind of like it, but when Sheila Jackson said rednecks last week, did she say rednecks last week?
No, she didn't. Okay. I thought she did too. She said Latinx.
Oh, okay.
Which is the gender neutral term for Latino/Latina. Although I've always been under the impression that in Spanish, and I took 2 years of Spanish, we were required to take 3 years of foreign language to graduate high school. And Spanish 1 was easy. Listen, if you can't pass Spanish 1, you're just an idiot. You're not trying very hard.
I even passed Spanish 1 in high school. That ought to tell you something.
Spanish 2 was tough, okay? We started watching telenovelas, and like we would watch it as a class, and then we'd have to like write down plot points, and it's not closed captioned. You just have to listen and like comprehend, and it was a little heavy. That year ends. I pull it out. You know, I'm okay. But now I've got a decision to make. Do I go for Spanish 3? The answer is probably not. And although now the upside of that would have been maybe by now I'd be proficient in Spanish. I'm not proficient in Spanish. I can say some curse words, and I've watched a lot of Cheech and Chong movies. I know a lot of words from those. I've watched Blood In, Blood Out many times.
Marrow.
Yeah, so I know some words, but not as much as I should, because I instead opted to take German 1 my senior year. So I was in a class with a bunch of freshmen and sophomores, including a really, really hot chick sophomore.
See, that's pretty cool when you're a senior.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're a big deal to them.
Yeah. And that was the easiest class ever, because our teacher was kind of a nerd, and she played this game called Volleyball, which was a game that was played on like a squash court or a racketball court.
I'm familiar with it.
You used to have, you've heard of this game, Volleyball. It's like volleyball, but in a small space.
Right. You use the bigger ball.
And you can bounce it off the wall. Apparently she was like competitive in this game. But also, apparently, it's not easy to get together a group of people who want to play volleyball all the time. So what she did, even though I'm pretty sure volleyball wasn't a German-based game, we didn't learn any extra German at this, but what she would do is say, you can get extra credit if you come out and play volleyball once a week. And the hot chick was there. She wasn't all that great at German. And I started going to play volleyball with her every week.
So you put a little German in her.
Just hanging out. And I didn't need extra credit in German 1. I sure could have used that deal in Spanish 2. But in German 1, I was pretty okay. But volleyball, that's what I remember from German 1.
That's one thing I wish that I had back as a kid, is that we really didn't have many language options. And Spanish was really it. Like my son can speak Japanese, Spanish, and Hebrew and Yiddish in addition to English.
Like, he speaks all of those.
Yeah. He's fluent. I don't know how fluent he is in Spanish, but Japanese he is.
Jeez. Japanese is tough, I think.
Yeah. And I've been thinking what I'd like to do is learn a second language. So I was going to do Babelfish or one of those things. But I haven't decided which one yet, because I always kind of wanted to learn Arabic just because I'd love to work for the CIA. If I, you know, because, you know, I could probably, I could do some things for the CIA. I've been watching too many CIA movies. But I've been thinking about learning French, since my retirement plan, assuming I live that long, does involve living in Canada, and it would be kind of cool. And French seems like just a sexy language. So I've been thinking about that, too. And, you know, if I keep having this much downtime, now's probably the time to do it. Get one of, because like my problem is writing it out. My brain doesn't like what the thing I struggled with Spanish is when we had to write everything out and conjugate the verbs and all that stuff. I really struggled with that. If you just tell me the language and the words, I can pick it up really fast.
Well, getting back to where this whole long story started, was what I did learn in Spanish was that if you want to say, if you're talking about males, you say Latinos. If you're talking about females, you say Latinas. If you're talking about a mixture, you go back to Latinos. I don't know why Latinx has to be a thing. I don't think that's a necessary...
Yeah, I don't either. That just sounds kind of... It sounds forced to me.
It does kind of sound... I'm not sure...
Do we really need it? I guess we need to hear from a Latino transgender person to tell us what it's supposed to be.
Says Josh was discussing Latin triple X during his show earlier. Different? Possible.
Mm.
I didn't hear him talking about that, but that's entirely... Latin triple X sounds like something you would type in. And
you know what? They have that on Pornhub.
Is it the same thing? So let's say you don't want to say Latino or Latina. Could you just say the Latin people? The Latin Americans?
I would think so.
I think Latinx is a made-up word, honestly.
Yeah, well.
But, yeah, Latinx is what they thought she said, rednex.
Oh.
But it was Latinx.
Although, I'm not really a fan of Sheila Jackson Lee, but the one thing she can do is speak pretty well. I mean, I've been to a couple things where she spoke, and she has that almost, like, fired-up preacher voice.
Yeah.
And it's very fake, don't get me wrong, but you know she's trying to sound like Barbara Jordan, who was before your guys' time, who did it so naturally, but she's hard to not understand. She's pretty clear about what she says.
Did you never hear her one where right after the Astros won the World Series, where she gave a speech on the House floor, and Altuve and Bergman and those boys, they won it.
Oh, well, she doesn't get names right. That's a lot of us don't do that.
Just the whole speech was bad.
I'm just talking about her delivery.
The Alfredo says, I, as a Mexican, am not from Latin America. Isn't Mexico part of Latin America?
No, it's part of North America.
No, that's Central America.
Right, but I thought Latin America went from Mexico down to like...
the very tip of South America.
Yeah. I got to figure this out. Mm. Are we going to a break?
Not for a couple minutes, no.
Oh, damn it. Okay, then I'm going to have to do this on the air. Latin America map.
Yeah, it goes from Mexico all the way down through South America.
Yeah. I'm sorry. If you're Mexican, you're Latin American. If you're an American. I mean, otherwise, you're just a Mexican. If you're not a Mexican-American, that's fine. You might just be a regular Mexican. But I still think you're considered a Latin American, because Latin America... goes from Mexico down to the tip of Chile or Argentina. I don't know which one has the southernmost tip. Deeper, Aaron? Tip of Chile?
I think Argentina has a bigger tip.
Well, it's got a thicker tip, for sure.
Well, that's really
But I don't
matters.
Know if it's got a longer tip.
Can't we all just be Americans?
I think Chile has the longer tip.
Okay.
Okay.
The deeper tip.
Yeah.
Peru has a small one.
But not by much. I mean, we're talking minuscule amount.
Well, realistically, we're probably talking several miles. And if you could add several miles to your tip, actually, that might be too much.
Yeah, you don't want that. I mean, unless there's dinosaurs still alive and you're into dinosaur porn. Otherwise.
John Fitch says, first let's go to it, Bleed Blue says, aren't all words made up? It, technically, yes, they are all made up. Hypoproton says, anyone else think Fred looks like the crippled kid lifted on the jock's shoulders at the end of a coming-of-age film?
That's pretty random.
It is pretty random. Yeah. And then get dropped, it says.
Hmm.
People are just rude.
I don't care. So,
I wanted to read that because it was hurtful.
Yeah,
to you.
Just anything that attacks me, you want to read. Yeah. It's fine. It's, hey, I get it. That's how you operate. You know, it's I know it's a self-esteem issue with you. As long as other people are being brought down to your level,
that's right.
Then everything's good.
Deanna showed up on Twitter.
I hadn't heard from her in a while.
I know she. I always like because I listen to the station for a good chunk of the day, and she's like. She's always talking to the morning show, always talking to the press box, but she doesn't like to have anything to do with our show anymore. I don't know what happened.
Probably got a boyfriend. That's usually what happens. Like
yeah,
women,
but she still likes other shows.
832 says, sorry, Fred. She-Jack is an idiot. Why are you apologizing to me? I never said anything about her being... I said I don't like her at all. All I said was that she's got one of those voices where you know you can hear what she's saying. She has a really good delivery. But I never said anything else positive about her. So don't apologize to me or act like I like her, okay? I want to make that really clear. I thought I made that clear at the first part. Maybe I didn't. I forget sometimes kids are out of school now and they don't quite understand what you say. And, you know, at no point did I say anything positive about her. Let's just make that clear, other than she has a nice delivery with her voice. It has nothing to do with anything else. I don't have anything positive to say. Is that fair?
Sure.
Okay, I want to make that clear. So stop. I don't want you guys misrepresenting me. Oh, he said that she was really good. No. I and I'm not going to get started because I don't want to tear into the woman, but I'm not a fan. But see, that's the problem with you guys, all right? It's like if I say one thing that might not be completely negative about somebody, then suddenly I'm for them. Doesn't work that way. Context, gentlemen. Pay attention to what you're listening to. Don't just respond. That's a Tuesday text right there, if there ever was one. Which, fortunately, I think the Twitch is doing so much better, except for that one dude, Hypoproton. Yeah.
I mean, maybe you do look like that. I don't know. I haven't seen one of those movies in some time.
I haven't either. It's not like a movie. It's not a genre that I'm a big fan of. But I did say I look like a kid, so there's that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a positive. Right, I'm going to take positive spins on everything today, and I'm going to take some positive spins on some betting here, thanks to my bookie. And guys, I'm not doing baseball, but if you're going to do baseball, this is a place to do it. You got the NBA coming back, this is the place to do it. And I will definitely be on the NHL next week and diving in on those hockey overs. And that's where this is the place to do it. Mybookie.ag. It's easy. When you bet, you win, and they'll pay you off. Up-to-the-minute odds, start of Major League Baseball Friday or Thursday, and now's the time to get involved. Those Astros plus 1,200 on my bookie right now, and that's their World Series future bets. There's a whole bunch of others, and you can get paid all. The good thing about this, too, with a short season, you don't have to wait as long to get paid, right, if you're doing future bets. And they've got all your favorite games starting. By the way, the soccer that's been going on, that Jerry Bo's been murdering, they have all of that. The golf, you want to bet on that. NASCAR, all of it. Now's the time to start exploring the world of online sports betting. Join today. MyBookie will match your first deposit 100%. Plus, they'll give you a free $10 MLB future wager. Just enter promo code radio when signing up. That's promo code radio. MyBookie.ag. You bet. You win. They pay.
Got shotgun on 18 wheels of freedom. He said, my final destination's Baton Rouge.
I got... This is The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. Or join us on Twitch and get your comments on there. at twitch.tv/ESPN975. And there is commenting going on during the breaks there. So if you don't get enough of us, with the real show, you can jump on there. Lamont wants to know, out of curiosity, why does your mic have a condom? And I'm not going raw. I have my own mic cover that I use. It's not condom flavored. It's I don't know, what do you call this, Aaron?
Mic screen?
Well, it's a mic screen, but
it's a foam.
Foam, like yeah. It's foam. But I use this, and I always put it on. I have my own. I don't let anybody else use it. So that covers everything up. But some people wear the mic condom. Some people don't. You know, I think it's better to be covered up.
You protect yourself.
Yeah. It's not for the other person. It's for you.
Yeah. I like to clean the mic, and I actually forgot I started the show without my mic condom. And I was like, oh, forgot to put this on. And I also forgot to sanitize it after Josh. So if Josh has the Rona, I've probably got the Rona now.
So that's one thing that we've been pretty good about around here is sanitizing the area before after the show, but not the microphones, which is why I always
do the microphone, but I also, there was no paper towels in here when I came in. So that was problematic, but we got it all taken care of. It's all good now.
2-1, after reading both your books, you've inspired me to write. Thank you, Fred. Good. Man, it's a fun, it can be fun and rewarding. It can also be frustrating, just like anything else. And it's like right now, and part of it too is, you know, we do the show, and I have to write a couple columns a week. I only have so much creativity in me. You know, there's a time where you just kind of hit a wall, and I've sort of had that right now. So I'm kind of hoping, taking a break and not having to write sports map columns next week, I'll dive back in, because I'm really a binge kind of writer. And so it was kind of cool during the Rona. That's how I got the second novel finished. And I got started on the third and was doing really well with it. And then I just kind of ran out of mental energy. It's just strange how it works. It's when the inspiration's there, I can crank out a whole novel in a week. And when it's not, I can go 6 months without writing anything that's not sports. 832 asked, Fred, have you watched the Bob Lazar documentary on Netflix? I have. My one beef,
if it's on Netflix,
I've
seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought it was interesting, but I also found it hard to, he seems believable, but every great con man's believable. I need to see proof, you know, and that's the thing. It's like that unacknowledged documentary said, oh, finally proof. No, it's what people said. They said, I saw this. This guy said he saw all this. And I need, where's a piece of a flying saucer? Somebody's got to have proof, right?
You would think.
And that's the one thing that kind of keeps me from buying into a lot of this stuff. And we were talking earlier about I Am Legend, the plot of that. Every one of these things I'm watching has the plot of some space movie that's already been out. Mostly Men in Black. Apparently Men in Black is real, according to these.
Hey, I had a baseball question that I wanted to discuss, because I saw earlier today. Did you see the video? Do you follow Houston Astros on Twitter?
I do not.
I saw today that it's 3 days until baseball, 3 days till opening day, and they said three banners and 3 days till opening day. And it looks like they were just recently putting up the 19, you know, NL champions banner. So they've got the, you know how they've got those two stanchions out there above the Crawford boxes, and on one side they had the 05, the red pennant.
Right.
And then on the right-hand side they had the gold one, the 17 World Series championship. Well, they put the 19 one above the 05, but now the 17 is, like, if you look at them like flags, is flying lower than the 19 runner-up pennant. Do you think they should all go on one post?
No, the championship should be higher,
at the
right?
top.
Yeah. And we were talking about this earlier, and I didn't get to it. Somebody had texted in that it's, you know, it's wrong that MLB is not using the Astros in any of their promotional stuff. And I just wanted to say, you're probably listening to Patrick Creighton every night.
That is a Creighton thing.
If I'm MLB.
Creighton found a picture.
Yeah.
That MLB posted. And there were no Astros in the picture. Now, mind you, there was like, I don't know, 15 dudes in it. There's 30 teams. But it was like it was a personal affront that there were no Astros in it. And how, like somehow they're, I mean, does it really matter that much if they're in that picture?
Well, let's look at it from MLB's perspective for a minute. Okay. Take off your Astros underwear. And if you're Major League Baseball, do you really want to be promoting a team that you spent the entire offseason in the spotlight for all the wrong reasons? This would be the same as putting Barry Bonds out there the year after all the stuff came out.
And if I'm not mistaken, and did you see that picture last night, Aaron?
Yeah, and he even talked about it on the show.
I knew he would talk about it on the show because I saw him tweet about it. Patrick does this. He kind of tips his hand a little bit. He lets you know what he's going to talk about. But if I'm not mistaken, there were no Red Sox in that picture either.
I don't believe so.
The other team that got punished for cheating in the offseason. It's not like they're blackballing the Astros. But here's the other thing you got to remember about the Astros. And I say this all the time, and for some reason people have forgotten this. Because the Astros won a World Series, people have forgotten that this fact remains true. Outside of Houston, no one really cares about the Astros. And the Astros are still... And the thing that's made the Astros the most relevant isn't that they won the World Series. It's that they cheated.
Right.
Because, let's face it, the Royals won a World Series in, what, 2015?
Were there any Royals in that picture?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah.
But the Royals won the World Series. I think it was 2015 they won,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 2015.
Are the Royals relevant at all to national baseball fans? They're a big deal in Kansas City. But nobody really cares outside of Kansas City. The truth of it is, and this stings a little bit to Astros fan, no one cares about the Astros outside of Houston, other than right now to bash on them. So there's no real incentive for Major League Baseball to say, you know what, any kind of promotional stuff we put out, let's put the Astros in it. That'll do us some solid.
But I don't really think that that's the point here, because they do have players that are nationally known, like Jose Altuve and Justin Verlander, who are easy to promote. The problem is, if I'm MLB, and this is what's going to upset Astros fan, but it's just true. If I'm MLB, I am not going... 526.
Thank you.
Can you do that during one of your takes one time? That would be really cool.
I'm always talking, then.
Well, then just interrupt yourself instead of me for once. But if I'm Major League Baseball, the last thing I want to do is promote a team the entire offseason was about for this cheating scandal in any way, shape, or form. They are a business, and there's nothing wrong with leaving them out. In fact, you know, they have to earn their way back, and if they win this year, then they can't be avoided. But it's like not taking a family picture with your cousin who's convicted of murder.
Right.
You know what? It's like, tell you what, well, maybe next year. But there's no reason for them to put that in there. So it's not some conspiracy. It's not some disrespect thing. It's, dude, you screwed up. And the last thing we want to do is promote that. The last thing we want to do is make a big deal out of a bunch of guys who got caught cheating. That's, go back and look at how they suddenly, remember how McGuire and Sosa was such a big deal. Boy, they ran from that in a hurry, didn't they?
Yeah.
You didn't see them for a while after that. So that's what it's about. And as marketing goes, you're not going to market the team that has a black eye. You're just not going to do it. It's stupid. And it would be really, really dumb for them to make a big deal out of Jose Altuve right now, or even Justin Verlander.
Right. But like I said, the Red Sox, in the grand scheme of baseball,
they're a bigger deal.
A way more important franchise to Major League Baseball.
Now, what you're saying is true, but I don't think it has anything to do with this. I just think they're being smart.
That's what I'm saying. I think the Astros and Red Sox are both left out, but it's a lot easier to justify because, I mean, it's not like there's Astros fans all over the globe. This is some sort of a... It's somehow now gone beyond being a regional baseball team, because it still hasn't.
No.
And if anything, they're just more hated across baseball than anything.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that this is more of a decision based on
the cheating.
Yeah, and it should be. And I know. Listen, I'm sorry, Astros fan, that, you know, they're out to get us. They're out to get us. Look, they screwed up. Okay? They screwed up. And they got caught and they got punished. But that doesn't mean the punishment has to stop with, you know, okay, this is what happened. If I'm MLB being a business, then is that the kind of thing that you want to highlight? Do you think the NFL was making a big deal out of the Saints after the whole Bounty Gate thing?
No.
And they're going to have to earn their way back. They're going to have to win one without there being a tarnish. And, you know, if Jose Altuve hits 400 this year, guess what? He'll be on the promotional materials next year. But you watch. It's going to happen with TV, too. They're not going to make a big deal out of promoting the Astros. And it would be, frankly, it would be bad business to do so. Tell you what good business is when you need a lawyer, you go see my man, Lawyer Dave, because that's great business. He's always going to take care of you. What's going on, buddy?
Well, just grinding away, helping the Blitzers as best I can every single day. Blitzers, if you get in any kind of a wreck or any kind of an accident, being at a grocery store, at a doctor's office, in a car, an 18-wheeler hits you, anything like that, hit me up at 713-626-8900, and I'll do my very best to help you.
Oh, but Dave, you're so expensive up front, I have to pay you money, right?
Personally, you do, Fred, but the rest of the Blitzers get me for free. Consultations are always free, and we do our work on a contingency basis. So we take a percentage, we gamble with the Blitzers, and when we win, we all win together.
Yeah, there's no charge for consultations, and if you're hurt and can't afford a doctor and you're taking the case, you guys take care of that.
You bet, Fred. That's really important. A lot of times Blitzers get hurt and they don't know what kind of treatment they need or where to get it or, more importantly, how to pay for it. So we hook them up with doctors for the specialty services that they need without any money up front out of their pocket. And if they don't have transportation because their car is wrecked, we'll get them an Uber back and forth for sure.
And you don't get a dime until they win. I mean, that's just how it works. And based here in Houston, but you practice all over the state. Tell them how they can get in touch with you, my man.
Blitzers, you can get a hold of me by calling me at 713-626-8900. You can find me at lawyerdave.com on the internet, or lawyerdavelaw is my Twitter handle, or my friend Fred and AJ both. If you find them, you can find me.
Yeah, you can always hit me up, and I'll get you all that information if you can't remember it. What do they do if they need a lawyer?
They better dial Dave.
ESPN 97.5.
Behold the King, the King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. You know what that music means. Time for Chronicle columnist, host of Houston Sports Show on KPRC Channel 2. And also right here on ESPN 97.5.
What are you doing, chewing ice, Jerome?
What the heck was that, Jerome Stalin?
That's my keyboard. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I forget that I can't type on the keyboard and use this because every keystroke is hers.
Listen to you coming in all clear. This is awesome. I got a chance to hear a little bit of your show Sunday morning as I was traveling around to do a couple things, and you don't suck at it.
Well, thank you. We try to have a little good time. It's not too bad.
I didn't say all of you. I said you don't suck at it.
Hey, they bring much more to the show than I do. Trust me.
Nah, fun
at
show.
At 8 in the morning on a Sunday?
Yeah. Fun show, man. I enjoyed listening to it. So just wanted to pass that on. So there you go.
The opposite of fun was I had the dumb idea of – one reason I'm clicking away here is I'm – kind of on a deadline, I have to write my column for tomorrow's paper. I had the dumb idea, hey, you know what? The Astros play at 1 o'clock. I'll watch that and I'll write about it. And I know you guys were prepping for your show and then on your show. It's the worst thing I think I've ever seen in terms of sports on TV. I mean, baseball is its own thing anyway, but man, the fake noise, the no crowd, no energy. And they have the nerve to like play the, you know, the music that you're supposed to clap with, like, let's go Royals,
oh
clap, clap,
God.
Clap. Like,
oh,
there's nobody there to clap. You know, there's, it's terrible. I mean, it's such a bad television production. It was just, it was awful. I mean,
I hate,
it's really bad.
I hate the fake crowd noise. I hate it on soccer. I didn't watch the game today, but I'm sure it sucks. And it's the NBA is going to do the same thing. It just stop. Just play the game.
Well, the amazing thing to me, though, is it sounds fake.
Well, of course it does.
Why? The modern technology that we have, they have what it sounds, what a real crowd sounds like. It doesn't sound like a real crowd. I mean, like, what I'm saying is you should be able to turn your back to the TV, hear a guy hit the ball, and you hear the crowd noise, and you not know there's no crowd, right? You should be able to. It should sound like a crowd. No, it doesn't sound like one. It sounds bad, and then when you're watching it, it's even worse because you're like, there's nobody there.
Well, but you say that, and every laugh track you ever hear on TV sounds just as fake, and they've had a lot more time to make that sound real.
I guess that's true, but. The laughs sound fake, but they sound like people laughing. This doesn't even, I mean, like, even, and the players inside of Minute Maid, the Astros who have talked about it, said, you know, it sounds like, you know, white noise in the background, or sounds like a toilet flushing or something. It doesn't sound like a crowd. And I said, okay, maybe on TV it'll at least come across as more real, but it is, God, it's just bad. And I'm wondering. You know, I'm not wondering. I'm pretty sure it's just not going to be any better. Like I said, when you play that song that's, you know, supposed to juice up the crowd, with they're clapping with it, and, you know, and I'm sure in the NBA games they'll play the defense sound, and you're like, why are y'all playing that? There's nobody out there chanting defense. It's going to be and maybe that's it, because, you know, like you say with the laugh track, you know there's no audience there, so it's stupid. Well, You're doing the defense sound, and you're playing the organ music at a baseball game for nobody. Hell, why would you play the national anthem?
Yeah,
ain't nobody there.
Yeah.
Do you play the national anthem before practice, before batting practice?
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially with all the drama around the national anthem right now. You could easily avoid all that.
Yeah,
that's too sensible. My favorite thing that happened today, and I got to watch a little of the Astros game. My favorite thing that happened was when Brett Strom went out to talk to Brian Abreu. He was wearing a mask, but he still covered his mouth with his hand the entire time he was talking, just to make sure no one could see it.
You're not going to read my lips that you cannot see.
Okay? Yeah, it's funny because it just tells you that, like, after all these years, he's officially, like, just Pavlov's dog. Like, this is what I do. When I talk to a pitcher, I put my hand over my mouth. It's the only thing I know how to do.
This is how it's done. And you really think people are watching you see what they can pick up from this game later on this season?
The Astros would be. Are you kidding me?
The Astros are like, I'll tell you what's not going to happen. We ain't getting cheated here. Not in this not in this exhibition game. You're not going to get the better of us, Kansas City Royals.
It's that parenting thing where, look, I'm not watching my kid for things that children do. I'm watching my kid for the things that I used to do. So I know better. I got to protect against myself from. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see if we can even get into these, and I guess in some way baseball might get some advantage from it, and basketball certainly will. If they are really bad productions, as it looks like they're going to be, there is some drama there because it's such a short season. It's not like we got to watch 162 of these rascals, or you don't have to watch any of them. But, you know, it's not like there are so many of them that you can ignore them all either. So. And it'll be better. I mean, I know this is exhibition, but it still seemed like just really bad.
You know, we were just talking about Josh James being put in the rotation right now because Urquidy he's got the undisclosed injury, which,
Rona.
I mean, if you want to take a guess, I'm not so bold as to take a guess. But but there's a lot of guys who are in that same boat, like Austin Pruitt. He's out with some elbow stuff. Brad Peacock's out with shoulder stuff. CNL Perez is out, and moving Josh James out of the bullpen into the rotation means that And not to mention the fact that Roberto Osuna is apparently a big fatso and not ready for baseball, even though he's had like he's had a whole lot of time to get ready for baseball, yet apparently somehow he's not ready. The bullpen seems like early in the season it could be a real issue for the Astros.
Well, two things on that. Osuna, they say they're trying to bring him in and up to speed the way that he normally gets up to speed. So that'll be okay. And it is going to be important with the bullpen because the season's so short, because everything's crammed together, you're not as concerned about people and their innings, but the starting pitchers have not built up to be able to go 7, 8, 9 innings, and they don't anyway in today's baseball, but you at least like to try to get them there. So your bullpen is going to be important. I think there are even most teams, or at least the Astros almost certainly, are going to treat it like a pairing. You have a starting pitcher and the guy who's coming in right after him, and you already know it before the game starts, as opposed to playing it by the situationally. You're going to say, hey, this guy is going to go 4, 4.5, 5, and this guy is going to go 2, and that's just the way you're going to do it, you know, at the beginning until people, you know, really get into the year. So, yeah, it's important that your bullpen is able to do that, and you're taking one of those guys out of that mix. But it's all such a crapshoot. Like, almost anything you say can be valid, and it can be invalid. We won't know what really matters until the season starts. I mean, Dusty Baker answered a question of mine on Friday when I was talking to him about how different it is. They've run the bases one time, he said, as opposed to, you know, during a regular spring training, you've run the bases a bunch of times. You've done a bunch of drills. They did it one time, he said, because one, we haven't had that much time. Two, the last thing you want to do is get somebody injured trying to see who can run and who's in shape and who can steal bases. And Dusty's like, we're going to go out there having not worked on the fundamentals like you usually would during a baseball spring training that is long and, you know, laborious. And he doesn't even know his players. He said half these guys I've never seen play. So how that's going to play out once they get into the games is going to be fascinating. But, yeah, the bullpen looks scrappy and scruffed up now. But we don't know. These guys might perform really well because you're not asking them to do something that they're not asked to do. And I just don't think there's that anybody has an advantage yet. But when the season starts going, we'll say, oh, see, that team had an advantage on how this all played out. But we won't know it till we know it.
That's Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. And obviously, not having Yordan, Kyle Tucker is going to be getting a lot more playing time. Are we finally going to see the Kyle Tucker we've been hearing about, or is this where we also realize, this guy's not that good?
It's one or the other. But, yeah, I mean, I do think we were asking too much of him early on because it's rare that a guy steps onto the field and becomes a star immediately. Even if they have the hype, the Kyle Tucker story is the much more common story of a guy's hyped up and never becomes anything. And the only people that ever heard of him are the fans who follow the team so closely because, you know, every team has these guys and we don't get to know them because they never made it in those other cities. Kyle Tucker's, you know, we've been waiting for him to do it for a while. We asked too much of him early on. This is his opportunity. He got bigger one year. You know, he came back with another thing every year. Okay, well, he did this, now he did this, now he did this. This is the time now. It's like, if you can't do it now, you know, will you ever be able to? But again, he'll be able to come back next spring, and if he has a horrible year, he'll say, well, it was only 66 games, and the Rona messed it up, and, you know, on it. I mean, you know what I mean? We could be doing this for years, but he looks good. And it's better to look good than not to look good, I guess.
Now, when did he ever get bigger? I mean, this guy looks like a jockey. He's got to be the skinniest human being I've ever seen on a baseball field.
I think it's one of those, you know, how you get the standard every year you come back, people are in the best shape they've ever been in their life kind of thing. So one year he came back and he put on 15 pounds because he was too light the year before. And I was like, what 15 pounds is he talking about? I'm with you. He's a rail. But he's a bigger rail than he used to be.
Yeah, I mean, he's still young, so naturally you should fill out a little bit. But, I mean, that's the one thing that I don't know a lot of superstars in baseball that have that build.
No, not at all. And that's why, I mean, that's why I say it's unfair of what people have put on him. In that the dude is 23 years old. He's not built like a Big Mac truck to where you're like, he's a can't miss guy. And even on the TV call today, it was the TV crew was the Royals television crew. And they used the phrase can't miss. He was a number one pick, can't miss guys when you pick those guys there. I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Those are can miss guys more than can't miss. I mean, that's not fair to say he was a can't miss guy and now he's a bust. No, he just might not be great, but it's just rare for guys to become superstars. And he doesn't look like a superstar, right? But he has looked really good at times. But I mean, I just don't know. And last year was solid. I think he hit around 270 or so. That's not terrible. It's not superstar stuff, but that's not the worst thing a guy can do. You want him to jack that up some and really come into his own. And 23, that's child age for baseball.
That's Jerome Solomon. Check him out on the Houston Chronicle. And, of course, you can see him here. You can hear him here, but also see him if you watch Twitch on Sundays on the Houston Sports Show. Appreciate the time, Jerome, and we'll talk to you next week, man.
Thank you, fellas. Have a good one.
All right. Look at Jerome. It was so much better quality audio.
He actually sounded good.
I could understand all his words. He didn't get dropped. I mean, that was a big time moment.
I think we've turned a corner, sir.
All right. Besides the typing, loud typing, that was bad.
Oh, you should talk. You were the worst at that for the longest time. You typed so damn hard, and everybody would say, well, who's typing? And Fred, are you doing? No, it was AJ. AJ would be like, all right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Into the
dirt. You're listening to the Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. And just want to tell you, if you want to catch some conversation on the breaks, you can go to our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Josh did it today. It went well, so we've been doing it, and just having a little conversation on the break for stuff that we're probably not going to get to on the show. And, you know, I didn't really want to get into Rona stuff today, but so we did that on the Twitch.
A lot of, have you seen Sage Steele is trending on Twitter right now?
Uh-oh. What did Sage do?
There's a lot of discussion about Sage Steele, who is, who told management she believes she was left out of the special the network aired on race last month, because she is considered by some of her black colleagues to be not an authentic voice for the black community. Like, she's not black enough. She thinks that L. Duncan and Michael Eaves kept her out of this. Now, she has no proof other than she wasn't invited to take part in it.
Right.
But, and listen, I'm not part of the black community, but I do follow enough black people on Twitter to know what black Twitter thinks of Sage Steele. And it's not, they don't think that she's really an empowering voice for black people. They think that she's kind of the opposite. So... No, I don't. I think she's the only person who's upset that she was left out of this thing. Like, I haven't seen any other black people like, man, Sage Steele, I bet she would have had a lot to say to help further the cause for inequality amongst different races. And no one was saying that except Sage Steele. But if you read, apparently she's now snitched on some of her colleagues, saying that they left her out because they didn't think she was black enough. And that is, in her opinion, it's worse than, you know, it's that in itself is what they're supposed to be fighting against. I see it, there's some funny comments on Twitter when she's saying why she didn't get invited, but the general consensus is nobody wants her in on these topics. They don't feel like she's a friend of the cause. And let's face it, that's what it is. And people don't realize that. Like, you know, this gap in racial equality, and the reason these people are speaking up to try to close that gap, it's definitely a movement. And when you're having something like that, you want to bring in voices who support that movement. You know what I mean? If you're having a rally, you know, a Black Lives Matter rally, you don't want to bring up the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan to help, you know, as a guest speaker, because that's not going to help the cause. All that's going to do is cause, you know, further separation. And I'm not saying that Sage Steele is the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. That's not what I'm...
That's kind of what you just said. But
no, I don't think she would be allowed to hold that position.
Well, it depends on what you're trying to do. So what was the point of this thing that ESPN was doing? Because I firmly believe that if you're going to do something like that, you do need other voices just to show people how stupid some of those voices are. But that I think it's if, you know, she's not as hardcore, I'd like to know why.
Yeah.
But it depends on what they were trying to do. If the whole thing was to talk about how there are people who have been discriminated against and there are issues like that, then if she doesn't fit that, then that's one thing. But it kind of it just depends on what the motives were behind it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess that's fair, and I don't think I think she has an idea of what the motives are, and someone else has the idea of what the motives are. You know, it's I don't know. It's sort of one of those things where there's some people saying when Jemele Hill was getting. When she was getting the business, when she was at ESPN, did Sage Steele stand up for her? But most people are saying that if you're looking for someone who's going to stand up for black people's rights, Sage Steele is probably the last black person they're going to. And Lamont says exactly who at ESPN is the black voice. I don't know. I mean, I know they're trying real hard, and they're trying really hard to be diverse, but I don't know if there is that voice that is loud and like in the black community and that is, I think Jemele Hill tried to be that. And I mean, Jemele Hill is controversial, I guess would be a good word for it. But there's a lot of people who think, well, maybe she just tries too hard.
She does try too hard. And she reaches for everything, and that's the problem. When you do that, then nothing you say has any impact.
And I don't have the answer as to who the right voice is, but I think unanimously the black people at ESPN think Sage Steele is not the right answer. So,
all right, let's squeeze in a quick Zadar Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Mammoth Lakes, California is where we go for this one.
Okay.
Where a family was sitting around in their house minding their own business when an intruder removed a window screen and tried to climb into their house.
Was the intruder a bear?
A black bear.
Oh.
And there's a great photo of this bear with
this. See, this is racial inequality. Like, why is... How do you know the bear was black?
Well, it's called a black bear, but I got to tell you, the bear is not black.
Okay. So
he's kind of brown.
Let's just not.
But that's the kind of bear he is.
Stereotype.
I'm not stereotyping. I tell you what, you talk to the people who name the animals and get them to change it.
I just said a bear. I wasn't going to bring race into it. And you're like, yeah, it was a black one.
But you have to differentiate. What if it's a grizzly? What if it's a polar bear?
A grizzly wouldn't fit through the window.
Well, this guy doesn't fit through the window.
Oh, well.
I hate to break it to you. These are really big bears. And, so apparently he tried to get in the house. And they tried everything, and they finally got rid of him. There was no damage except he ripped off the screen. But I got to say, I don't want to live in a place where bears are trying to break in. Because like if people try to break into my place, I got two dogs and guns.
Yeah.
A bear, that's a little something different. That's your Sad Dog Jeweler's Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Sad Dog Jeweler Gem of the Day.
John Carter said,
"There's bears where I'm going."
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, later in the week, there's black bears up there.
Apparently, there are bears in Saskatchewan. I've just never seen one. And there's a lot of moose, and I've never seen a moose. It drives me nuts.
There's moose up in Oregon, too.
Really? So you're going to get to see a moose. The worst was the time we went, and like the day after we left, we were staying at my in-law's farm. And the day after we left, my mother-in-law takes a picture of a moose that came into the front yard and sends it to me.
It's yeah, like, there's like there's bears and elk and beaver. I want to catch a beaver or maybe a mink. There's mink there.
You could make a mink for your wife.
Well, no, I'm gonna keep it as a pet.
Oh,
yeah,
until it dies, and then you can skin it.
Maybe that.
That's a good way to preserve it, right? All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.